All right, so we've been looking at a lot of progressive politics stuff, and you found this No Agenda Show newsletter from January 25th, 2025. And some of these headlines, I gotta say, really caught my eye. We've got like accusations of Democrats lacking decorum, a deep dive into something called the Justice Democrats, and even a meme of the week. Color me intrigued.
It's a pretty diverse mix of topics. What really jumps out at me is how this newsletter uses strong language right off the bat. Terms like goofball and troublemaker. It definitely sets a certain tone, wouldn't you
For
say?
sure, for sure. And they seem particularly focused on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They call out her lack of decorum as a prime example of what they see is wrong with the Democratic Party. What do you make of this focus on AOC and this idea of decorum?
It makes you wonder what they're really getting at. Is it about her policies, her personality, or maybe they're trying to tap into a broader anxiety about changing norms in politics? It's worth considering how this framing might impact perceptions of progressive politicians like AOC, especially those who challenge the establishment.
It's like they're trying to paint her as a threat, or at least someone who's outside the acceptable boundaries of political behavior. And they tie this directly to the Justice Democrats, which they say AOC is the titular leader of. Could you give us some background on this group? Who are they and what are they all about?
The Justice Democrats are a group of progressive politicians who have been making waves in Congress since 2017. They emerged from the Bernie Sanders presidential campaign and have been focused on electing candidates who support a progressive agenda.
The newsletter lists a whole bunch of names as part of this group. Raul Grijalva, Pramila Jayapurokana, AOC, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, Rashida Tlaib, Jamal Bowman, Cori Bush, Maureen Newman, Greg Kaser, Summer Lee, and Delia Ramirez. What are some of the common threads that tie these politicians together?
Well, they generally advocate for policies like Medicare for all, a Green New Deal, tuition-free public college, and criminal justice reform. They tend to be more critical of corporate power and more supportive of government intervention in the economy.
So they're definitely pushing for some pretty big changes. But the newsletter goes even further, claiming that the Justice Democrats hate capitalism and are all about something called transmaoism. I have to admit that last one threw me for a loop. What's going on with this language?
You got to wonder what their goal is with those kinds of terms. Transmaoism seems like an attempt to link these progressive policies to authoritarian regimes. A pretty loaded comparison, wouldn't you say?
For sure.
And calling a whole group capitalism haters is a pretty broad stroke that ignores any nuance in their economic views.
It feels like they're trying to stir up fear and maybe even discredit the Justice Democrats without really engaging with their ideas. But then, just when you think they're going to keep hammering on that point, the newsletter switches gears and starts talking about Trump firing a bunch of inspector generals. It feels like a bit of a jump, right?
It is a bit of a jump, but maybe there's a through line here. Think about it. The newsletter seems to be presenting both the Justice Democrats and these inspector generals as threats, one to the economic system, the other to Trump's authority.
Interesting point. So remind me again, what exactly is an inspector general, and why is it a big deal that Trump fired so many of them?
Inspector generals act as independent watchdogs within government agencies. That job is to investigate allegations of waste, fraud, and abuse. They're supposed to be nonpartisan and report directly to Congress, which means they're not beholden to the president or any other political appointee.
So they're like the internal affairs division for the government. That makes sense. But the newsletter claims that these inspector generals were doing a piss poor job and that Trump was just trying to drain the swamp. What do you make of that?
Well, it's worth considering the context here. Many of these inspector generals were appointed by previous presidents, both Democrats and Republicans, to suggest that they were all suddenly incompetent or corrupt. Seems a bit convenient, don't you think?
It does feel a little like he's trying to discredit anyone who might hold him accountable.
Exactly.
But let's go back to the Justice Democrats for a second.
Okay.
You mentioned they've been making waves in Congress.
Yeah.
What kind of impact are they actually having? Are they just a fringe group, or are they starting to shift the political landscape?
They're definitely not a fringe group anymore.
Okay.
They've been successful in electing a number of candidates to Congress.
Right.
Which demonstrates that there's a growing appetite for progressive policies among voters, mm-hmm. especially younger voters.
Well, they're gaining some real political power.
Yeah.
How are they using that power to advance their agenda?
They've been using their platform to push for policies like Medicare for All and the Green New Deal.
Right.
Issues that were once considered fringe are now part of the mainstream political debate.
Mm-hmm.
They're also adept at using social media to bypass traditional media outlets and connect directly with voters.
That makes me think about the meme of the week we talked about earlier.
Right.
It seems like both the newsletter and the Justice Democrats understand the power of these new forms of communication.
Absolutely. In today's digital landscape, memes can be incredibly powerful tools for shaping public opinion and spreading information.
But there's also a potential downside, right?
Yeah.
Memes can be used to oversimplify complex issues or even spread misinformation.
Exactly. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
On the one hand, memes can make political ideas more accessible and engaging.
Right.
On the other hand, they can be used to manipulate and mislead.
Right.
That's why media literacy is so important.
Mm.
We need to be critical consumers of information, regardless of whether it comes from a traditional news source or a viral meme.
It sounds like the Justice Democrats are trying to work both within the system and outside of it to achieve their goals.
Mm.
They're winning elections and pushing for policy changes.
Right.
But they're also using social media to build a broader movement.
That's a key insight from social movement theory.
Okay.
Successful movements often employ a multi-pronged approach, combining electoral politics with grassroots organizing, public education, and direct action.
It's like they're playing a long game, recognizing that real change takes time and sustained effort.
Right.
And that brings us back to the newsletter's characterization of them as hating capitalism and promoting trans-Maoism.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a deliberate attempt to demonize them.
Mm-hmm.
And their agenda.
It's a tactic often used to discredit those who challenge the status quo.
Right.
By invoking fear and resorting to loaded language. They're trying to shut down debate and prevent people from engaging with the ideas themselves.
It's a shame because whether you agree with their policies or not, I think we can all agree that a healthy democracy requires open and honest dialogue.
Absolutely. We need to be able to have respectful conversations about the challenges facing our society, even when we disagree on the solutions.
Well said. This newsletter has certainly given us a lot to think about.
Yeah.
We've explored the rise of progressive politics, the importance of government accountability,
and the evolving role of media in shaping public opinion.
It's a fascinating snapshot of the current political climate.
Yeah.
A landscape full of competing narratives.
Right.
Where information is weaponized and the battle for hearts and minds is constantly being waged.
Yeah, it really does feel like we're living in this hyper-partisan age where it's hard to find common ground.
Right.
And this newsletter seems to be playing into that dynamic by framing everything in such stark black and white terms.
It's definitely a strategy we see a lot these days, appealing to emotions rather than logic.
Right.
Demonizing opponents and creating an us versus them mentality can be very effective in the short term, but it doesn't do much to foster productive dialogue or meaningful solutions.
It feels like it's more about scoring points than actually addressing the issues.
Exactly.
But speaking of addressing issues, I did want to circle back to the whole Inspector General situation.
Okay. Why are these firings so concerning?
Well,
and what kind of precedent does it set?
Think back to what we were discussing earlier about checks and balances.
Right.
The ability of inspector generals to operate independently is crucial for holding those in power accountable.
Mm.
When a president can just fire anyone who might investigate wrongdoing within their administration, it raises serious concerns about potential abuses of power.
The newsletter tries to dismiss those concerns by saying that Trump was just getting rid of deep state bureaucrats.
Right.
But isn't that a bit of a simplistic, even dangerous way to frame things?
It's certainly a way to deflect criticism and avoid accountability. Yeah. By painting any form of oversight as a partisan attack,
right.
it creates a climate where any investigation, regardless of its merit,
yeah.
can be dismissed as politically motivated.
It's like saying, if you're investigating me, you must be the enemy.
Right.
That doesn't sound very healthy for a democracy.
It's not a healthy democracy requires transparency and accountability.
Right.
We need to have mechanisms in place to ensure that those in power are acting in the best interests of the public,
right.
not just their own self-interest.
And a free press plays a crucial role in that process, right?
Absolutely.
There's supposed to be the watchdogs holding the powerful accountable and informing the public.
A free and independent press is essential for a functioning democracy.
Right.
It's their job to shine a light on corruption, expose abuses of power, and provide the public with the information they need to make informed decisions.
Which brings us back to this meme of the week that the newsletter mentioned.
Right.
We didn't see the actual meme, but it got me thinking about how much influence these things have in shaping public opinion, especially in this age of social media.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Memes have become this incredibly powerful form of communication. They can be funny, insightful, and even thought-provoking.
Right.
But they can also be used to spread misinformation.
Right.
Reinforce stereotypes and manipulate emotions.
It's like they bypass our critical thinking faculties and go straight for the gut.
In a way, yes.
Yeah.
They tap into our emotions, our biases, and our desire to belong.
Hmm.
That's why it's so important to be media literate.
Right.
To be able to critically analyze the messages we're consuming, whether it's a news article, a social media post, or a viral meme.
So what's the takeaway here? What should people be thinking about after listening to this deep dive?
I think the biggest takeaway is that we need to be more aware of how information is being used to shape our perceptions and influence our decisions.
Right.
We're bombarded with messages from all sides.
Right.
And it can be difficult to filter out the noise and get to the truth.
It's like we need to develop a whole new set of skills for navigating this information landscape.
Exactly. We need to be critical thinkers.
Discerning consumers of information and engaged citizens.
Yeah.
We need to be willing to question assumptions.
Right.
Challenge narratives.
Yeah.
And demand accountability from those in power.
It sounds like a tall order.
It is.
But it's also incredibly important work.
Absolutely.
If we want to preserve our democracy and create a more just and equitable society.
Yeah.
We need to be informed, engaged, and willing to speak out for what we believe in.
Well said. And remember, your voice matters.
Yeah.
Don't underestimate the power of individual action to make a difference.
That's a great note to end on.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining me on this deep dive.
It was my pleasure.
It's been a thought-provoking conversation.
Yeah.
And I hope our listeners feel equipped to navigate the complexities of our political landscape.
Absolutely.
Remember, stay curious. Stay informed.
Yes.
And stay engaged.